Karim Benzema put in one of the iconic Champions League performances to score three times and knock out Paris Saint-Germain.
Benzema! Incredible scenes! Karim Benzema has a hat-trick and Real Madrid are doing the unthinkable! The roof has been lifted off the famous old Bernabeu!
Despite Kylian Mbappe lighting up the Bernabeu in that front three with Neymar and Messi, it is Real Madrid who march on to the last eight. We react to an absolute classic, as well as Manchester City's progression on Match Day Live. Welcome along, I'm Rob Daly, and we're going to try and compose ourselves to reflect on the second night of the round of 16 second leg ties. I'm joined by our match commentator John Bradley and former Juventus Arsenal and England striker Leanne Sanderson, who watched that incredible game that Real Madrid have won by 3-1 against Paris Saint-Germain. Leanne, unbelievable. What a game and what a performance from the man who is the UEFA player of the match, Karim Benzema.
Yeah, it was fantastic. I mean, this game had absolutely everything, and we spoke about it at half-time and we were saying that, for me, the game looked dead and buried. It looked like Paris were going to win this game pretty comfortably. They're moving around the pitch in triangles. You know, Real Madrid couldn't really get near them. At the beginning of the game, give Real Madrid their credit, they came out, they came after them. But, you know, the way that this game has ended, I'm still sitting here in shock, because it was an absolutely brilliant game. The last 25-30 minutes, I mean, the first half was good, but the last 25-30 minutes was fantastic. And Benzema has got the captain armband on, leading by example. And I think, you know, I said it many times before, I feel like at times people don't really credit Benzema in the way that they should. You know, he's been around for years, he's always scored goals, and he's now leading them in the way they need to. And those fans at Real Madrid must be absolutely ecstatic, because what a performance from him. But special mention has to go to Modric, Luka Modric, because he was sensational. The last 25 minutes, unbelievable. Putting in tackles, running through with the ball. Neymar tried to bring him down at one point. He played the ball through to Vinicius, and then that forced the error, and then Benzema ended up scoring. But they really come after them in the last 25 minutes, and I'm sure Paris Saint-Germain are really, really shell-shocked.
The 70 years of age between them, Modric and Benzema, and what we've just seen, the show of energy and hunger and desire, you know, is the sort of thing you'd expect from a young player to be able to persist in the way they did, to keep going. Credit to Carlo Ancelotti, huge credit to him, because they were done in the game, and Leanne was watching it, and she said they've got to get more legs on, they've got to get more energy on. They brought Camavinga on in midfield, made a massive difference, but Rodrigo as well on the right-hand side started to cause problems. But the collapse of Paris Saint-Germain has to be seen to be believed. It started with the goalkeeper losing the ball inside his own penalty area, and that was the route back into the tight. But from then on, it seemed as though they all lost confidence in each other. And simple passes they weren't finding. And they gave the ball away, I think, over in double figures times, either inside or on the edge of their own penalty area. And Benzema, I mean, it's not a difficult hat-trick, but my, what a hat-trick, you know, to score at this time when, on another day, Kylian Mbappe scores a hat-trick and Paris Saint-Germain cruise through. He scored one and had two chalked off.
He certainly did. OK, more on that game shortly. We also have commentator Richard Kaufman with us, who saw City progress past Sporting. 0-0 on the night, Richard. And City, there'll be a threat for anybody, of course.
Yeah, tonight's not the night to talk about Manchester City and their pedigree in the UEFA Champions League. They started the round of 16 as the tournament favourites. Job was done a month ago, of course, in Lisbon when they won by 5-0, 4 up at half-time in that one. Tonight, I suppose you could say it's the first time in the UEFA Champions League that Manchester City have failed to score at home under Pep Guardiola. But they didn't really need to get out of first gear. They did get the ball in the back of the net from Gabriel Jesus just 90 seconds into the second half, but that was ruled out for offside. At the other end, I felt in the second half, Sporting played well, and they have restored a little bit of pride to take back to Portugal. Paulinho with the best chance, and Scott Carson, who just come on as a substitute, made a brave save to deny the striker of Sporting scoring the only goal of the night. So 0-0, nothing too much to take out of this one. Safely through to the quarterfinals of the UEFA Champions League for the fifth successive season. But of course, for Manchester City, this is, I suppose, the final trophy that Pep Guardiola is looking to win, and they take another step towards doing that potentially.
Okay, well, let's remind you of the scores then from Wednesday's game in the round of 16 second legs. Manchester City 0, Sporting 0, City going through 5-0 on aggregate, and Real Madrid 3, Paris Saint-Germain 1, a 3-2 aggregate win for the Spanish Liga leaders. And a reminder, on Tuesday night, Bayern saw off Salzburg 7-1, an 8-2 aggregate win, and Liverpool just edged past Inter despite a 1-0 defeat at Anfield. For reaction to those results, you can download our Tuesday podcast via your favourite provider. But we have to start in Spain, where Madrid hosted Paris, and John Bradley was watching this one.
That's a lovely ball that releases Mbappe. Now that he's got one defender to beat, it's Alaba. Oh, he's gone for goal and he's found it! What a goal by Kylian Mbappe! He's completely foxed the goalkeeper, Thibaut Courtois. He's looked far post, he's gone near post, and Paris Saint-Germain have the lead once again through Kylian Mbappe. Donnarumma's just getting himself into a little bit of a mess. He's given the ball away inside his penalty area. Benzema, goal! It's a goal out of absolutely nothing. And Real Madrid breathe again in the tie. Real Madrid 1, Paris Saint-Germain 1. Oh, Benzema's in! Goal! Karim Benzema has levelled the tie! What a game! What a tie! Karim Benzema, the captain of Real Madrid, on the turn, slots home from inside the box. The comeback is complete. Now can they go on and win it? Oh, they're in again here. It's Vinicius trying to get around Marquinhos. Benzema! Incredible scenes! Karim Benzema has a hat-trick! And Real Madrid are doing the unthinkable! The roof has been lifted off the famous old Bernabeu! And Real Madrid, who were on the way out, now lead the tie. Benzema, out of nothing, has scored again. Real Madrid 3, Paris Saint-Germain 1.
It's the talk of football, it's the talk of social media tonight. Paris Saint-Germain knocked out by Real Madrid in incredible fashion. Leanne and John, who are on commentary alongside me. Now, OK, so let's try and do this chronologically, I guess. Let's go first half, Leanne. And I think it was fair to say it was the first half that Paris Saint-Germain, they were the superior side, and that got that goal from Kylian Mbappe.
Yeah, they were brilliant in the first half, definitely the better team. I thought Real Madrid started the game really well. They came out, you know, they nearly scored from the kickoff with Vinicius. So, yeah, I mean, it was a proper, like, the game was really amazing, but I felt like the first half, definitely Paris, when they went in at half time, Pochettino, I can't read his mind, but he probably said similar, do exactly what you were doing in the first half. And Mbappe scored a really good goal, which I thought that Courtois could have actually got, you know, done a better had to. But then at the same time, I felt like Mbappe took the shot on relatively early and maybe caught Courtois off guard. But Paris were fantastic in the first half. But this is the beauty of football, because you don't quite know what happened at half time, because they looked like a completely different team in the second half. And Real Madrid just seemed to have that little bit extra, which I was surprised at, because when a team comes out of the blocks in the way that Real Madrid did in the first half, usually they run out of steam a little bit, but it was almost like their fitness levels were even better with about 30 minutes to go, and they just took it to another level. And Ancelotti, the substitutions, we mentioned it, were fantastic. Rodrigo coming in, Camavinga, you know, and they really took the game to them, and they even wanted more. They were already, you know, 3-2 on aggregate. They could have kind of took the ball to the corner flag and stuff like that, but they didn't. They wanted more. So absolutely brilliant game of football, and special mention to Benzema, but also Modric. He was fantastic.
Okay, so at 1-0, Mbappe then had a goal disallowed in the second half, offside again. Unbelievable little step over in front of Thibaut Courtois to sit him down and score, but that was ruled out. And then we get to the hour mark, I think, John, wasn't it, roughly? And the Donnarumma error. And the goalkeeper situation was something we talked about before. It was a major talking point in Spain, in France anyway. And he goes with Donnarumma. Leanne, I think you said you feel Navas is better with his feet anyway.
Yeah.
And then sure enough, Donnarumma gets caught out under pressure.
I didn't get the score right, but I've got that part right.
You got all of it right, apart from the score. Yeah. But John, it was a major moment, because I think, as you and Leanne both touched upon, it lifted Real Madrid. It changed the energy of everything.
Yeah, you can talk about what happened to Paris Saint-Germain in the tie, and where they failed and they fell apart, but it doesn't happen without pressure. and energy and effort. And the changes that were made, Camavinga, Rodrigo, Lucas Vazquez at right back, moving Alaba to left back as well from centre back to just give them another attacking option down that left hand side, and the squeeze and the press, and they went chasing after everything. Modric and Benzema playing like teenagers, running around, hustling and harrying. So the goal doesn't happen if Benzema doesn't chase a lost cause with the goalkeeper, who then makes the mistake, and Vinicius made the right decision, played the ball across. We then saw Vinicius sky one over the bar, didn't we?
From I actually thought that was a big moment.
I thought that was going to be the pivotal moment in the tie. And then what they also did was they dropped incredibly deep, the defence, didn't they? So there was no space in behind them for Mbappe, who looked like he was going to score every time he got the ball. So the game was stretch, wasn't it?
Well, defensively, they just made too many mistakes, didn't they? I mean, we talk about Donnarumma, but Marquinhos, you know, he assisted Benzema. On, and these things happen. You know, from a professional footballer's perspective, like, you are going to make mistakes, but you just hope that they don't come in games like this, because the capitulation from Paris was unbelievable, wasn't it?
The first goal gives Real Madrid a sense, a semblance of belief. But you're still thinking, you're not going to... And then errors started happening from Paris. But the second goal, the one that levels the tie up, there's nothing about a mistake in that. It is a goal of absolute beauty. I could go to sleep tonight watching that that Luka Modric pass. I mean, out of the back of his head, he sees Benzema in space in the penalty area. And his take on the half turn, finish, just gets a little touch on the way through, but it's going in anyway. And it's brilliant. But for then, the celebrations all around the stadium, it's electric. Paris Saint-Germain take the ball to the halfway line. The game resumes, and within 12 seconds...
Is that how quick it was?
12 seconds, they've conceded again. And, yeah...
We were just sitting here in shock, wasn't we? Because we were just like, what is going on? Yeah. Because none of us expected that. I mean, I know I predicted Paris to win
before the game, but
it was unbelievable.
I mean, I've just looked at the expected goals. I know that's the old football stat masters love that. Real Madrid's expected goals in the first half was 0.31, and then after halftime 2.18. So, you know, it shows the difference. And you give credit to the players, and you give credit to the wily old fox that is Carlo Ancelotti.
He took off Tony Kroos as well, and then they ended up almost like, that's exactly what they needed to do. But you have to credit the subs, because when you're on the bench in games like this, the expectation is always, well, you're fresh. You should be able to come on and make a difference. But sometimes it takes a second to get up to the speed of the game. It really does. That's what people don't realise.
The mentality of the players coming on has to be, how can I effect some change on this game? And Camavinga came on. Remember, a very young player.
He had swagger, didn't he, the way he was playing the ball.
And he
about,
walked onto that field as though, I'm going to really announce myself here. The way that we saw, you know, in a different way, Mbappe with Monaco, but as a young player to come on, and he looked like an experienced pro. Rodrigo's had his critics in his time at Real Madrid, caused real problems. Lucas Vazquez, steady, you know. 7-8 out of 10 every week, and did it again, did really well.
One of the best things he did as well was the amazing professional foul on Neymar, because that is what they have to do. It's not about fouling players and causing, you know, a player to get injured, but you have to pick up professional fouls sometimes, and that's experience.
From 3-1 down, which was 78 minutes the goal's been timed at, the only shot of note that Paris had to try and level things up was a free kick from Messi.
Yeah, Messi
from 30 metres. That's all he created. And, I mean, they played on adrenaline, Real Madrid, for that last, 4 minutes stoppage time plus 12 minutes. And they coasted through in the end.
I'm wary of getting into cliche territory with these two clubs in particular, because you can go down the line of, this is what Real Madrid do. They're the Champions League team. They always find a way, which feels lazy. And then that Paris Saint-Germain have had these collapses before, and that those old feelings had been creeping in, the reminders of Man United and Barcelona in the minds of the likes of Verratti, who even he was looking at losing possession. But there's a very real part of me that feels that did play a part. The Real Madrid know, we know how to do this. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of the same guys. And then Paris know, oh, we know how to do this. We know how to collapse. This has happened to us before, because stringing together those... they look so comfortable on the ball at times, Leanne, prior to the hour mark. and yeah, the mistake definitely. From the keeper.
And as a player, those things run through your mind. But at the same time, being a Paris player should know that they've not overcome this hurdle before, and they seem to go out. And that, to me, is a mindset. You know, whether it's Poch the manager, Tuchel's the manager, they seem to go out always at this time. And that, again, you mentioned a big, not saying they're a bigger club, Real Madrid, but they've been in these situations before.
Exactly,
yeah. Modric knows how to win, you know. Benzema knows how to win. I'm not saying these other players don't, but I think Paris have a tendency to have players that don't know how to get it over the line. And we talk about age before, about Benzema and Modric, but maybe, you know, Paris could have done with a Thiago Silva in there tonight. Because
he's injured.
Yeah. Sergio Ramos. Yeah. So, yeah. But he probably wouldn't have played tonight. You know, you'd imagine...
If he'd been fit this season, you know.
You wouldn't have thrown him in.
You wouldn't have thrown him in.
You'd be very surprised to see him thrown into that game, particularly, you know, in the Bernabeu. But the transfer windows that they've just had last summer and the players they brought in, Messi, Ramos, players to educate the others how to win.
They're
the
trying to do what you're
prize.
Saying, Lee.
They're trying to do exactly that. And they've not done it again. So where do they go from here?
Mm-hmm.
What's left to do? Who do you sign now?
Yeah, it's difficult.
This is a rhetorical one again. I can't tell if it's a real question.
Well, I mean, it is a rhetorical one, isn't it? Because where do you turn now? You've recruited one of the greatest players ever to play the game and one of the ultimate champions of all time in Ramos, who will have been around the squad, who will have been talking to them, will have been saying, look, this is what we've got to do. This is how we've got to
get over the line. And they have reached a final. They were in a final a couple of years ago.
They've been to semi-finals. They've been to finals. But...
They're so attack heavy though, aren't they? Like, I feel like defensively is what let them down tonight. You know, the error is yes, but defensively, especially the second half, it was almost like their concentration went for whatever reason, because the first half they looked pretty sound. They looked fine.
The one thing that we've always talked about with them is they've never found that right dynamic in midfield. I mean, ever since Thiago Motta used to hold them together in the middle of midfield, didn't he? And then, of course, he moved on, and it was him and Verratti. And then they brought players in and tried to move them around, and Wijnaldum's on the bench, and he was supposed to be the final piece of the jigsaw. Paredes was brought in, Sagana Gay was brought in, and all these players keep coming in, and you never seem to have that. Who's my best team? Who's my best three? You know, should Di Maria be playing in a role as well? And that's the quandary that they've got to look forward, because the response in the last few years to not winning the UEFA Champions League, which is their ultimate aim, that's what they're under pressure to do, is to sign player after player after player. Now what do? You turn around and say, are we going to bring players through youth wise and start developing in that way? But this is now a turning point and a pivot point for Paris Saint-Germain.
We just saw Carlo Ancelotti pitch side, a former Paris Saint-Germain head coach, let's not forget, smiling. You don't see him openly smiling much, and his eyebrow was nearly popping off his head. You know, that one that creeps up. So
he turned into the Rock.
Well, look, he'll know now. He'll believe his team can win it, right? They'll believe they can win it after that, Leanne.
Definitely. I mean, there's obviously still a lot of really, really top teams, but I think people at times have written them off based upon the fact that, you know, Ronaldo obviously left a long time ago, but they've not spent a lot of money. You know, it's been pretty well publicised about Barcelona and Real Madrid and things like that. So, you know, definitely, they're a top, top team.
Can I say something controversial?
Let's see.
I think there will be more managers, head coaches, happier that Paris Saint-Germain have gone out tonight.
You think so?
Than Real Madrid staying in.
Yeah.
There's a lot of managers underestimating Real Madrid.
Yeah.
No, but there's
people
agree.
Absolutely terrified of what Paris Saint-Germain can do to them attacking-wise.
Definitely.
Okay, let's have some stats then. Karim Benzema, oldest player to score a hat-trick in the Champions League era at 34 years and 80 days. He made his 500th start tonight for Madrid, only the second foreign player in their history to achieve that, behind Roberto Carlos. And he should get past Carlos's number, 524. And for Kylian Mbappe, by the way, he probably can't believe he's on the losing side. 23 years, 79 days old. He's already the third all-time away goal scorer in knockout stage football in the Champions League. One behind Messi and 12 behind Ronaldo. So a reminder of how it finished at the Bernabeu. Finished Real Madrid 3, Paris Saint-Germain 1. On aggregate, Karim Benzema 3, Kylian Mbappe 2. Coming up, we'll discuss the other match this evening in the UEFA Champions League.
Celebrate 30 seasons of that UCL feeling by picking the ultimate moments in UEFA Champions League history. Vote now at uefa.com/UCL feeling and you could win tickets for the final in May and some other amazing prizes.
Okay, there was another match, and it was Manchester City against Sporting. Richard Kaufman joins me now to analyse this. 0-0 on the night, 5-0 on aggregate. I suppose, Richard, job done. Job done for City.
Yeah, job done in leg one, let's be honest about it. All the drama, all the tension, all the excitement, all the main talking points have come from Real Madrid's win tonight against Paris Saint-Germain.
You're jealous, aren't you, Richard? I can tell.
Listen, it's not unexpected, is it? We knew it was going to be a cracker of a match between two teams like that. Whereas this one, you know, miracles sometimes happen. Comebacks like happened tonight in Madrid happen. But 5-0 away from home, would Sporting do that against one of the teams that one of the big favourites to win this competition? It was always going to be totally unlikely, and that's the way it proved to be. It was a decent match. I mean, it was enjoyable. There were some great cameos, some nice football, but ultimately, as a contest, it was over before it began.
Okay, let's hear from Pep Guardiola speaking about reaching another quarterfinal.
The last decade, step by step, the club grew up, and for many years we are there. You know, every season in the Champions League, playing this competition and qualifying for the last 16, and now we are again in quarterfinals. So the best 8 teams in Europe, and I'm a guy who learned through the time to enjoy the moments. And when I qualify for the next season, play the Champions League, that night I celebrate it. Because I know how difficult it is. And when you are in group stage, you qualify for the last 16. I celebrate it because I know how difficult it is.
Pep Guardiola did have injury issues going into the game, but he still named an unbelievably strong team. Phil Foden included the surprise of many. Bernardo Silva, Raheem Sterling, Ilkay Gundogan, Gabriel Jesus, who had a goal ruled out for offside. But there were some great changes. There was a youngster in the starting 11 and some great changes from City in the end, Richard.
Yeah, so CJ Egan-Riley started, and he completed the 90 minutes, and towards the end he looked like he was really enjoying himself. Some lovely little flicks in his own defensive position. And then they made some changes at half-time. James McAtee came on, and he kind of plays in the pocket, kind of a number 10 role, and he looked very skillful, very at home. They brought on Luke and Bet as well, big, strong centre-half, all of these teenagers. But the one that kind of brought the biggest cheer, and I'm not sure who was happier about Scott Carson coming on, the man who replaced Edison or Carson himself, because Edison was grinning and really enjoying it. And Scott Carson made a really good save as well. 36, playing just his second UEFA Champions League appearance. He made a really good save to deny Paulinho. I was worried that he got injured, actually, because there was a clash between the two, and it looked like that Scott Carson might go off 2 minutes after coming on, but thankfully he was fine. And it was a bit of a, you know, as I say, cameo appearances. It was certainly fun to watch. And the football generally was really good. On another night, Manchester City would have scored tonight, but through the VAR, through just some poor finishing, it didn't happen for them. But it was a good match, albeit one that didn't have too much weight behind it.
Well, Fernandinho wore the captain's armband, making his 100th appearance in the competition. He's only the 44th player to have made 100 Champions League appearances. Let's hear from him now, the UEFA player of the match, pleased with the concentration and high quality from his side.
I think the key word was keep going the same way, keep doing the same thing we have been doing so far, the Premier League and Champions League. Try to play in the same way. Obviously, it's not easy. Some new, fresh legs, new players. Players that have been playing, but it's important because we went through both legs. I think we are better, and we are so happy to go through to the quarterfinals.
Yeah, they march on again, Manchester City, top of the English Premier League, of course, by 6 points at present and into the last eight draw. For Sporting, then, Richard, you know, it was their first appearance in the competition since 08-09 when they got beaten heavily by Bayern. They beat City 10 years ago in the Europa League. It was to be this time. But how do you think they'll reflect on how they performed it in Manchester and how they've performed in the Champions League as a whole?
I think they'll be delighted that they got through to the knockout stages. Obviously, things didn't work out for them just a month ago. 4-0 down at half-time. They were swept away, weren't they? But they'll be pleased tonight. defensively, they stood solid as they could. They did in the second half in particular threaten going forward. They're 6 points behind Porto in the chase to try and retain the title they won last season. That'll be their main focus now, along with a cup semi-final that they need to overturn against aforementioned Porto. They've got a really good manager in Ruben Amorim, who's stated in the build-up to this game this week, because there's some speculation he's been linked to jobs around Europe, that he wants to continue this project next season. Still a lot to look forward to for Sporting. I mean, they lost 5-0 at home to Manchester City, but we are talking about Manchester City, arguably the best team in club football around the world. Others, supporters from other teams may debate that, and we'll see who comes out with the Champions League trophy at the end of the season. But Manchester City still have got to be one of the teams to beat.
Okay, Richard, before we let you go, Fernandinho got the official UEFA player of the match, as I mentioned. Who would you give it to on the night?
I wouldn't always agree with the official announcement, but on this occasion I will do. I think Fernandinho was fantastic. He turns 37 in May. No wonder Pep Guardiola would like to keep him for another season. He was orchestrating things from midfield. Fantastic performance, vintage from the Brazilian.
Okay, Richard, thank you very much for your company on the show this evening. Let's turn our attention back to Madrid, where Paris Saint-Germain have been eliminated by Real Madrid. 3-1 on the night, 3-2 on aggregate. Let's hear from Madrid defender David Alaba.
Of course, nice when the game end up like this. We're very happy that we reached our goal. And also very grateful for our fans, because they did an amazing job today, tonight, and helped us a lot. The atmosphere was really special, was unbelievable, and we couldn't have made it without them, and they helped us a lot, and together we can reach a lot, and like today. In this club we always believe and dream big and go for the big goals, so we want to reach them for sure. It's not easy. This is what we know, but everything can happen in this club.
David Alaba there, of course, a summer signing who looks right at home in that winning mentality of Real Madrid. Asked the Spanish paper with the headline, Benzema is historic. 309 goals now for the club. He's moved past the legendary Alfredo Di Stefano to become the club's third highest goalscorer of all time. Leanne Sanderson and John Bradley, our commentary team for this one, are still with me here. This is interesting. It's been picked up on UEFA.com. Olivier Decour speaking on French TV. Let me know what you think to this, Leanne. Paris play for an hour with Messi, Neymar and Mbappe. When you're winning, it would be good to take one of those off and shore things up a bit. Pochettino didn't do that. Is there any merit in that, or is it too bold to take off one of those players, do you think?
I think it's great. Hindsight's a great thing, isn't it? And I think if he ever took any of those players off and they still lost the game, they would be saying that he shouldn't have taken them off. So it's all very well saying, you know, what shoulda, woulda, coulda. Ultimately, the players have to perform to the levels that they can, and they just didn't in the second half. But fair point, maybe put on a more defensive player. But I think if Pochettino would have taken off Neymar, Mbappe or Messi, and they would have lost this game, then everyone would have been saying, why would they take him off?
They were seemingly cruising as well, weren't they? I mean, it's just that it all happened so quickly. The second and third goal came so quick, and then Pochettino tried to react. But, you know, 16 and a half years ago, he scored his debut in the competition for Lyon against Rosenborg, didn't he? And he's still going strong now, third hat-trick. And if he wasn't before, he has firmly cemented himself as one of the great number nines of all time.
Absolutely.
In this competition tonight, Karim Benzema.
Is the UEFA your player of the match question pointless at this point? Leanne, you can have the real one, and then John, you have to think of it something a bit different.
Benzema, yeah. Followed by Modric.
Oof, okay, John?
Yeah. It's not even a question, is it?
It's one of John's rhetorical questions.
Okay, John, Leanne, thank you very much for your company this evening. It has been a brilliant few days so far in the Champions League. Last 16 comes to a conclusion next week. We've got both nights of action. Manchester United 1, Atletico 1 as things stand. Ajax 2, Benfica 2. Then Juve 1, Villarreal 1, Lille 0, Chelsea 2. Lots on the line, very tight ties. Our live coverage comes back Tuesday the 15th of March from 8 p.m. CET, and our main commentary will come from Old Trafford as Manchester United take on Atletico. And don't forget to download our podcast shortly after every match night. Just search for Champions League on your favourite podcast provider, and we'll be there. But for now, from me and the rest of the Matchday Live team on an incredible night, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.